slips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, RevolutionRadioFreedomSlips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com. Visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome on, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
All righty. Hello, hello. What's all this then? It's only a flesh wound. I've had worse. You have not. I cut your bloody arm off. Anyway, welcome to the show. This is Keith AZ live on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. I hope y'all join the chat room and give me your questions and stuff. I've asked our dear friend, Mitchell Bupp, to join. One of my favorite people. I just love the guy. I remember him when he first joined the network, and he was very kind to join my show and has joined a number of times since then. He's with us again tonight. I will quickly say that this is 100% volunteer supported. That means I do this for free. I myself have donated to the station, and I hope you all will too. 100% listener supported and host supported and management supported. Nobody takes a paycheck, although I think the upper management deserves it, by the way. But our general manager, Ahmed Painter, says, no, we're not taking any money for anybody. And I actually, of all the people involved, I would love to see him get some remuneration. I'm fine myself. I'm doing well. I enjoy this so much. But the only thing your donations do is keep the lights on, pay for the electricity and the bandwidth, and keeping the servers going and maintaining them. Nobody on this network, even the upper management, gets a cent. Your donations only go to keeping this independent network alive, where we can say anything, talk about anything. I could say COVID-19 was a total big lie, but thing our late great host said is keep it PG, make it so that families can listen, don't use swear words and all that, which I really respect. And it kind of changed my voice, because I realized in my day-to-day life you don't need to use bleepity bleeps. Anyway, let's welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Mitchell Bupp. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Hey.
How are you doing, sir?
Hey, good day. God bless you. The evening, morning, afternoon. What the hell time is it? Hell, well, it's tomorrow. Never mind. Damn, I'm confused. It's so late.
Well, it's 11 p.m. my time.
Yeah.
I'm now in Texas. I'm deep in the heart of Texas.
Oh, well, all right.
I've moved from Arizona to Central Texas. And
that's kind of embarrassing to say you're from Arizona right now, isn't it?
Well, I'm actually, it's even worse than that. I'm from Northern California.
Oh, my God.
Originally from Northern California. San Francisco Bay Area. And what they've done there is just so off the charts. I mean, it's like.
Oh, I know. That's okay. Don't hold it over my head. I'm from Three Mile Island.
Okay. I know. We've talked before. Anyway, anything in particular? You know, I've got a jillion topics, but I know you're probably not going to want to stay long because it's late for you, and I want to respect you if you want to drop off.
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately for you, or unfortunately for me, and fortunate for everybody out there, I've already stayed up 2-3 hours past my normal sleeping time.
Nighty-night time.
And you know, I'm starting to hit that second stride where, oh hell no, I'm not sleepy now. so you might have to put up with me for a while.
We're all getting older, so it's a.
Hey, what do you mean older, man? What are you talking about?
Well, I know for myself that it's a little bit more challenging than it used to be.
That happens. Unfortunately, that getting old stuff.
I'm not ruling out that changing. However, let's cut to the chase. We're in a really interesting time. Trump just announced his candidacy. We had another stolen election. We've got the war in Ukraine. We've got so many different topics of interest. Nancy Pelosi has basically announced that she's done, and she will no longer be speaker, which means she will no longer be third in line for the presidency. That's a very good thing, in my opinion, by the way. What's on your mind? What do you think is the most important things right now?
Gosh. That's a really good question. What's at the top of my concern list?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, getting past the PSYOP. We live in this world where we are subject to multiple psychological operations. Using different known psychological tools and angles and operations to turn us into this mindless cult.
Yeah, to manipulate us is actually even worse than that. But go ahead, my friend.
Oh, it's sheer craziness. And, that explains some of the election. It doesn't explain all of the election. And really, it's like.
Well, they stole it again, just like they did in 2020, just like they did 2018, just like they did. You could go all the way back to JFK, although he broke the programming and actually decided to do good. They thought he was their boy, and apparently this is an interesting story according to one of his mistresses, because he was quite the philanthropist. That's not the right word. What is the right word? I don't remember. But
he's a cheetah. We'll just call it
you
cheater.
Can say that.
Yeah, I'll say it.
He liked the young ladies,
once a man whore, always a man whore.
yeah, you could say that. But with all that, he turned a corner. And according to a book that was written by one of his mistresses, he took some LSD and then broke the programming. He broke out of the network. He went rogue and started trying to do good for the people, and they had to kill him. Of all the things, he was pissing off everybody, right? He was He said, okay, so I'm not going to give nuclear weapons to Israel. I'm not going to, I'm going to send my little brother as Attorney General Bobby to go down in the mob, which helped him win the election, by the way. So they were pissed off. You can go on and on. But I think the main thing he did that got him killed was that he issued silverbacks and said that, we're going to break the Federal Reserve. And issue silver. I think that's what got him killed. Some people think he was going to tell us the truth about UFOs, and that's what got him killed. I think it was the money. I think it was because he issued the 50. I don't even remember. It was the 50 million or 50 billion. And back in those times, it was probably only 50 million in silverbacks. And I think that's what got him killed.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Whether it was, the currency or, smashing the CIA.
Oh, well, he was going to break the CIA, right.
To, into a million pieces. Was it the mafia,
He was pissing off everybody.
Yeah, I mean, he just stepped on everybody's toes, and Johnson said, let's kill this bastard and I'll take over. It's no problem.
Yep, and that's what happened.
But, things have gone so crazy, that where we're at today. And I don't know if you would want to play this little clip or I should share my screen and play it. That's up to you, but.
No, you can play it.
Yeah.
I don't have it set up on my end. I'm
still. Oh, that's cool. Okay, here I let me.
To San Angelo. I don't have my full projection set up.
Well, anyway, I guess now this is a clip. You're getting the morning show stuff now. Okay, so this is Now, okay. This is for your I won't play the whole thing because it's a minute and 49 seconds long.
Oh, you can play the whole thing if you want.
Well, it gets kind of, repetitive, maybe. It's,
Well, up to you.
But here, tell me, if this is woke or if this is woke.
Is this Marilyn Monroe?
Brazilian deaf mute trans woman sings Whitney Houston. I will always love you.
Well, what you're actually listening to is a Brazilian deaf mute trans woman singing Whitney Houston's I Will Love You for like a Voice or America's Got Talent type of panel.
Sounded like dogs howling or something.
Yeah, because she's a deaf mute, she can't hear, so she doesn't. Who can't voice, audible tones. At the end, the thing is, after a minute and a half of that, literally, everybody stood up and clapped like it was the greatest thing in the world. And oh my God, it's like, what the hell is the matter with people? It's like the tranny guy woman that just won the, it's a lower level pageant for the Miss America pageant.
And it was a fat dude.
Did you see that?
Matt Walsh covered it. I've been watching Matt Walsh lately. And it's like,
he was,
seriously?
What was he, 260 at least, right?
And they also put, I don't know if it was the same woman or not, but, you know, on the cover of Sports Illustrated, guess how many issues of that magazine sold? You know, people are not buying it, but they're pushing it hard. There's a total agenda behind it. They are trying to destroy the family. They're trying to break us down. We're not having it. Go woke, go broke. We're seeing it over and over again. What just happened to Twitter? Well, Elon Musk bought it because the go woke, go broke stuff ain't working. People don't, they instinctively know what's real. And we know what actual beauty is. But they're still pushing it. They're pushing the whole transgender thing.
What? Are you telling me you don't believe a woman has a penis? Oh, my God.
I forget the guy's name.
God. You know, what's really funny is men with vaginas. I mean, how does that work, by the way?
What was that guy's name who actually met with Biden? I don't remember. But it is so pathetic. Tim Pool, who does Timcast, thinks it's he's actually trolling the transgender community. But he says, "Oh, some women have a bulge," you know, meaning their genitals.
Right. I guess they just need to learn to tuck better.
Tuck better. Oh man. No, but, people instinctively are not buying this unless they're totally programmed. Sadly, I had a conversation with my youngest sister. I have two sisters. My youngest sister, back in about 2020 on my birthday, which is March, called her up and I said, Trump's the – or it was probably 2019 actually because Trump was still president. I said, Trump's the greatest president we've had in very least recent history. She hung up on me because she is so mind-controlled, just like you were saying. The mind control has been very effective. Television is the most effective mind control device ever. But in my opinion, it actually goes beyond that. They're using very sophisticated they've got an array of supercomputers, but they're actually using also nanobots that they have injected into people with the COVID vax. This is off the charts deep stuff. For AI control, and they want to sublimate us. They want an authoritarian. We're seeing reports now. They're having yet another conference, and I forget what they're calling it, but Klaus Schwab is there saying, "Yes, we need a new world order," and the public mainstream media is saying there is no new world order, except that there is a new world order. They're using dissociative programming on people. I don't know. Any thoughts on that, my friend?
Oh, no. It's not the new world order. It's a new world summit. That's all it's called. It's called the new world summit.
Oh, see, and I was confused.
Yeah,
there.
It's like, what? And they're saying it's new world order is conspiracy talk. How dare you talk about that stuff?
Yeah, you must be mega. You're a conspiracy theorist.
Well, I have to admit, I do use pronouns once in a while, not all the time. Yes, you know, asshole and mother effer. You know, I consider, I honestly, they're my pronouns if I have to use them, you know. I mean,
well, on this venue, I'll use bleepity bleeps, and you can fill in the blank on that.
Oh, yes, we have to do it appropriately.
But I will say is they are, you know, one of the things that's been really educational for me is that what I've come to learn is I think there's a really a contingent of actually Satan worshipers, you know, and this was a new revelation. I mean, I knew things way back when. I knew that UFOs were real because I saw them fly by, you know, back when I was 13 years old. So all the way back in the early 1970s, I was already investigating what you would call conspiracy theories. I knew when the World Trade Center hit that was an inside job. I knew it wasn't guys with box cutters. I mean, it was way too sophisticated. And the towers would not fall in their footprints if planes hit them. Even if planes could have taken them down, which are basically aluminum cans with titanium engines and wheel assemblies, and a lot of kerosene. Their jet fuel was basically kerosene. It's basically slightly different. There's some additives in there, but there's no way that took those things down. But they went down like a perfect destruction. And what took down Building 7? Oh, there's a fire on the roof. Still framed buildings collapsing in their own footprint. You know, so I've been aware of this for a long time. There is a really dark forces afoot on the world. What do you think about that, Mitchell? You know, in my opinion, one of the factors at play here are Satan worshipers.
Well, I'll tell you, I think most of the time people don't have a clue what they're worshiping. You know, I guess one example is that there, you know, is a satanic Bible and there's an alleged 10 or whatever satanic commandments. And as you would think, they're polar opposite of, you know, the Bible's 10 commandments. And, you know, once you read them and you look at them and, you know, it's like reading your own 10 commandments and, you know, whether you realize or think about it, you know, subconsciously you check that stuff off in your brain. Like, did I do that? Did I do that? Did I do that? You know? And so, you know, what I think most Christians and what most people don't realize is, you know, they actually use some of those, you know, satanic commandments. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad or indifferent or whatever, but most of those commandments are kind of natural reactions, you know, and don't turn the other cheek, smack them on the other side of the head or whatever, you know, covet thy neighbor's wife, you know, or life or whatever, you know, lie to get ahead, you know, do whatever it takes. You know, there's all these things that people do and embrace, but they never consider that they might be sleeping with the enemy, you know, in a proverbial sense.
So you're not going to take a stance whether that's good or bad?
Oh, no, I think it's bad.
Okay, see, there you go. Thank you.
I mean, you know, there's no doubt that, you know, that the embrace that we're seeing today is not good. Maybe
they want to take us down a very dark path.
Sure, I'll shine some light on it so we don't fall off the cliff. But go ahead, let's do it.
Okay, well, I was just saying, there is a agenda from these dark forces. I call it the Darkaball. You could call it the New World Order, but it's more than that because it involves not just humans. It's actually much deeper than that. Their agenda is an authoritarian. It's actually even worse than that. They want to Borgify us. They want the transhuman agenda. That's why they're injecting nanobots into us. They want us like their minion robots. And they want to disconnect our souls from God. This is what they at the really heart of it is, because these beings have, and again, it consists of both humans and non-humans, and both physical and non-physical beings. So it's just like with everything. I don't care what kind of, type of beings you look at. But if you just look at humans, you got everything from dark to light. You got pure psychopaths to saints. And most of us are in the middle somewhere. Most of us are just trying to do good. It's the same with these other beings, whether they be extraterrestrials or whether they be non-physical beings that are influencing us as well. The agenda of this dark cabal, which is very loosely organized, by the way, it's not a monolithic situation here that we're facing. I think that's one of the mistakes people make when trying to assess, it's those guys that are doing it. No, it's they all have turned their eyes away from God, that's what they want us to do as well. So they want to separate us from our ability to connect with our creator. And we're not having it. And by the way, listen, we're winning. We're going to win this battle. I know it looks pretty challenging right now. In reality, we've actually already beaten them. And we're now seeing just the detritus of the battle kind of display. It's like you cut off the head of the snake, but his tail still wags. That's where we're at right now. So we're really in a better place, my friends, than a lot of people want to or are able to understand. This is a really positive time. We're moving into a very positive future, in my opinion. I'm not telling you I know everything or I'm some kind of prophet. I'm not. I'm just another regular dude like you all. Here it is. We are in this place right now, and we've got to raise our vibrations. The most important thing to do right now is to be present for our loved ones and help them kind of hold their hands through this difficult time we're in. This is an incredibly difficult time. I'll tell you what, if you're incarnate right now, if you're in a physical body, you got tickets to the big show. This is the time of the change. Be strong, be heart-filled towards your wonderful loved ones and neighbors and people that you interact with. And here it is right in our faces. They are pulling out all the stops. The dark forces have pulled off their masks. They're telling you, just like in this latest conference with Klaus Schwab, they're taking off their masks and they're going, you will have nothing and you will be happy, because we will drug you and we will put transhumanism, cyber technology inside your body, which will disrupt you from connecting to your own connection to God. That's what they want to do, because that's what they did. The reason they're this way is because they've turned their eyes away from God. I don't know. That was kind of a long rant. I'm sorry, my friend. Any thoughts? I don't know if you agree or disagree.
Well, I wish I could be more positive about the future of mankind.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
However, you know, we're kind of looking at the, I wrote it down for tomorrow because, you know, we're all dead screwed or screwed dead, whatever you want to take it. So, you know, basically the government's bringing the dear departed cadaver lube and you better stand by because the government's coming. And it wants to screw. You know, it's the sad truth is that, you know, we are under these psychological operations. I started talking about some of this stuff on last Friday when I effectively, you know, I declared war on the system. And, you know, as I said in that rant, you know, I'm not going to murder anybody. It's not kill, rape, rob, destroy. It's not that stuff. It's a war against the psychological operations and systems that are being used by the media and by government in cooperation, coordination, and conspiracy to turn you into basically a cult member where they are just feeding you the any type of Kool-Aid that they choose to that day. And, you know, you're just waiting around with your cup.
Well, as I said, it's even worse than that. They want to Borgify us. And
I understand this transhumanism agenda.
Yeah.
You know, not only that, but this idea, you know, with Bill Gates and the rest. That
and Klaus Schwab and George Soros and the David, Rockefellers. You can name so many others.
Right. Well, what they have done is they've trying to extend this idea, this concept of, you know, we program a computer and we essentially bring the two dimensional screen, you know, basically to out and develop it. And we put in text, we program it, and we get a picture, we get a website. You know, they're trying to extend this idea to the human genome to where they can not only modify it, but, you know, with mRNA technologies to change your genetic structure.
Yeah.
They literally, not just for disease prevention, but they literally think that they can, at this age and understanding in mankind's history, I will quote that. I will put
well,
that.
What do you think? I'm sorry to interrupt. I apologize. But no. It's my opinion that they want to break us from our connection to God.
Well,
do you agree or disagree? I don't know. Let me just finish really quickly.
I don't think that's possible for them to do that.
Well, they're trying really hard, it's my opinion. And I think it's because they have, they've decided they could do better. You know, right? And then what they found out was, actually, I no longer get creative energy, so I've got to suck off the regular humans. I'm sorry, that was kind of nasty thing to say, but it's basically
No. There's a lot of parasites. There's a lot of parasites out here, Keith.
They've got to vampirize us to illuminate themselves,
absolutely.
And people fall for it.
Absolutely.
So that's what I think is going on. The real war is they are trying to disconnect us from God, and they've done this on other planets before. This is not just a battle on Earth. This is a battle, a cosmic battle, that has been going on for a long time. And they've subjugated whole worlds, and they really want to subjugate Earth. Because Earth is a really interesting place. There's a lot of interesting things about Earth. Earth is really a gem in the Milky Way galaxy. It's been colonized by a lot of different groups, going all the way back. If you want to go back to the first, it was the Lyrians who were first invaded, or actually destroyed by the reptilians, who then they had no concept of war. They didn't know what war was. What would you do? Why would you do that? But the reptilians saw humans as vermin, like we would see cockroaches or rats or other such vermin. That's how they saw vermin. But it's even worse. Then they opened up a dimension to the AI dimension and brought in this really dark stuff with the nanobots. I know, Mitchell, this is crazy stuff, isn't it? It's like a science fiction novel. But as best as I can tell, as best as I can figure out, this is what's going on.
Well, in all honesty, Keith, that's a lot of that's out of my wheelhouse. Do I believe, you know, Mitch Buck, we're here speaking, do I believe that there are aliens out there and they have visited Earth and they've left a footprint? Absolutely. I believe that. Now, you know, being here now and proving it and the interactions, you know, gosh, you know, it's hard for it. It's not that I can't fathom it, but I can't trust it. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
that it is or isn't true. You have to understand, you know, my background and where I've come from, where I started and where I am now.
That's cool. But, I'm not trying to convince you.
No, that's okay.
I'll just simply tell you.
I will say this, okay?
Okay.
And I don't know if we've ever talked about, you know, when I was working in West Virginia and I saw the two ghostly apparitions of a man and a woman go into a white light.
I don't think you've told me that story.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, so I was working in West Virginia on a methane gas pipeline coming off the coal fields. It was a little 14-incher. And I had my little camper parked in a little town called Varney, West Virginia. And there was a little white church there. And, I didn't even ask these people permission. I got there late one day, you know, when I came in, and I had to go down and get right to work. And, you know, I ended up leaving my camper where it was because nobody told me to move it. And it was free and it was right near, you know, right at the yard. And it was in this little church parking lot. And I had gone to my mom and dad's house that weekend down at Smith Mountain Lake. And I was living there. And after moving there from Pennsylvania. Anyway, I won't even get – there's a little story in the middle there that's kind of funny as hell. Anyway, I stayed the weekend. Oops. And I went back up on a late Sunday night, and I got into my camper, and I'm in my camper, and I'm getting ready to go to bed. And it's 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And – I got this strangest feeling that somebody was watching me. Somebody was looking at me. You know, it's like, you know, eerie feeling you get, you kind of chill over your back.
Yeah, the hair's on the back of your
Yeah, it's like, what the hell is that? And, you know, I had to get up and actually turn around and look. And there I saw an old man and an old woman. The old man was kind of, you could see the hollowness and palish look, ghoulish kind of palish look in his face, and I could see his old little beard, and he had this plaid shirt on with blue and black pattern, like a flannel top shirt, and as a woman there that had a just looked like, you know, she had some type of nightie on, and it was just an older Maul and Paul looking couple. And so, and it was like when the universe slows down and when time seems to become extended slowly. And, you know, I don't, it just seemed like they were there, and it was like enough time for me to recognize what the hell I was looking at. And I could look and see through them. I could see the cabinets on the other side. Okay. It's not like, you know, they were translucent figures. And it was really from about the center of the chest up is all that I can recall seeing. And within a second, millisecond, or however long it was, you know, because it's not something you normally see.
Yeah, like an eye blink.
Yeah, it was like this rainbow streak of their colors went right into a light that appeared in the other corner of the camper. And I'm astounded because during this part of my life, during this time of my life, you know, I hated God. I ridiculed God. I, you know, I pray he forgives me, but I was a real asshole. I was a real bastard about religion in general during that time.
I got to tell you a story myself, but go ahead.
Well, okay, now wait. Now, this is just the beginning of this story. So, after about, it seemed like 30 seconds maybe or something, you know, I hear a loud boom, like a rumble. It's clearly an explosion, and it's a rumble. And I run over, I open up my door of my little camper, and here's this house about, I don't know, 70 to 100 feet away, 30, 40 yards away. It was far enough away across the whole parking lot where I, you know, my camper wasn't going to be any issues. But it's 30, 40 foot flames coming out the very front of this house. And, you know, my work boots are sitting right there by the door. I slid them some bitches on. And I ran down as fast as I could and over the one little bridge and over, and I was beating on some of the truckers' doors because there was like a half a dozen or more trucks sitting down there idling. And this is in like the second week of January in West Virginia. It was very cold. Yeah, it was, I don't know, 8-10 degrees. It was chilly. Anyway, so nobody in the trucks got up, and I ran back over.
Nobody did.
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not thinking.
You'd think they would hear you.
What's that?
You'd think they would hear you.
Well, their truck was idling. Maybe they were sleeping. Maybe they weren't even in there. Maybe they went to a hotel or got laid. I can't say.
Maybe they were scared.
I wasn't trying to hang around to wait because I beat a few seconds on two of them, and I ran back around and crossed this other little bridge on the other side of the lot, and I ran up, and there was a couple small mobile homes up there. And I ran up on the back porch of the one, and I'm beaten on that patio sliding door, you know. And as I'm beaten on it, you know, all you can see in the glass is this reflection of orange. And
that's
as I'm beaten on this glass, and you can see it. You can see the glass and the orange kind of vibrate, and then this, you know, a light come on. And this old woman came to the door and, you know, had her nightcap on and her damn full pajamas, you know, and, you know, she slid that damn thing back. And when, you know, cause she's totally illuminated by the orange of the fire, it's just, you know, it spreads so fast. And her eyes got really big as saucers. And by that, so I jumped back down. And I went down around. And I don't know if it was then. I think it was then when I went up and I kicked the back door in. And, you know, there was this coal black smoke pouring out, you know, a foot. It was just like, you know, they tell you in, you know, the fire safety video stuff where, you know, that lower foot of the ground is where it's going to be oxygen and air. And damn sure if it wasn't, but I still couldn't, wasn't going in that house. I couldn't. It was so fully inflamed by that time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, where the house was, there was a... sitting on a kind of a hill, and there's a driveway coming up from behind the church parking lot. So I kind of went up there, and I'm standing there watching the fire and watching this. And I couldn't even tell you what time it was. I mean, you know, when all this was happening, and you know, because how long I stood up there and how long it took the fire to burn through, I couldn't tell you, but I'm standing up there, and here's this baby blue Cadillac. You know, I mean, this is in 1991, late 1991, or this is early 1992 when this happened. Okay, so if you were alive then, and if you know about the styles, were these, you know, big square Cadillac boats, the big boats before them small Cadillacs came out, and baby blue tuxedos. So this big baby blue Cadillac pulls up this back driveway, and there was, I don't know, there was probably 25, 30 people standing around this back side of this hill. And, you know, this Cadillac pulls up here. And, you know, I mean, he pulled up like a foot behind me to, you know, on this road, because I'm standing right on the edge of this embankment kind of hill. And because I didn't know what the hell he was going to do. So this guy jumps out, and he's got a baby blue tuxedo on. Looks like he just came from the prom or a wedding. Evidently, it was a wedding. You know, and he has this long ass black hair, like the singer from Meatloaf. That's the only way I could describe this guy. His name was Randy West. R.A. West was his name. But anyway, he was a preacher, televangelist guy. And so was his mom and dad. And so he runs up there. You know, I mean, that was their church, the white church, the parking lot that I'm sitting in. You know, I didn't know this, any of this at the time. And, you know, he runs up, and I'm standing there, and he kind of brushes up against me as he's getting down on his hands and knees, you know, in this dirt, you know. And remember, the house is burning, so it's about like orange daylight. He gets down on his hands and knees, and he starts praying to my mother, God bless me, mother and father, and God help me, protect me. I know I can go in and get my mother and father from this fire. I know that, you know, and he got up and was getting ready to charge into that fire to save his mom and dad. And I had to grab him and hold him. You know, and I stopped him from, and during that whole time, you know, I never thought consciously, you know, about what I had seen and experienced, you know, less than 25 minutes, 30 minutes before that, you know. And, so... I know I held him for a little bit, and I kept him from going in. And then I don't know what happened to him, but I think some of his family came along, because that was his mom and dad he lost in that fire right there. Yeah. And, so, It was less than 2 weeks later when I got hurt working on that job. And I had the privilege, honor, I guess, if you want to say that, meeting some of the parishioners to the church that was there. And, you know, and these parishioners are telling me, well, you know, it wasn't a surprise and you know, that evidently this man and woman that died in the fire that I saw go into a light. It's the only way I can describe this. That's the only way to say it. That they had told their congregation like 2 weeks before this that they were done and God was going to call them home. And, you know, like both their sons were there and they were running the church and they were preaching and doing evangelism. And, you know, they had, I guess they had two churches then, you know, and, you know, it was like, wow, you know, so I never thought about it much, but it really did work and change the direction of my life where that was headed during that time, you know. I was kind of like Robin Williams said, you know, in the one movie, I forget what he said. Hell, I was on everything in roller skates, you know. I mean, I was on a roll, and you know, that was a
Let me just ask you a question. You know, that was quite a long story and interesting one, but. It sounds like that brought you a little closer to God. Is that what it did for you?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, it brought me back to God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. They say there are no atheists in the trenches.
In the foxholes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, there's a saying maybe we should start and use. that should apply to dummies too, not just foxholes.
Well, I think that's what's happening worldwide right now. I think we're seeing the face of evil rear its ugly head, and people are getting it right now in droves. Numbers, I think the election was stolen and more people are really getting it, that this is a sham. This is a scheme. This is a not reality, but it's a play.
It's a state-sponsored massage, man.
Yeah.
Aren't
yeah.
you happy?
people are getting it in bigger numbers than ever. Sadly, some of my family members apparently still don't understand, and I've given up on trying, because, I figured if you can't see this right now, man, all I can do is do my best to get my own house in order. Right. So if I can vibrate to a higher dimension of reality, and I mean that really literally. You know, I think that's what our purpose is right here, right now, is to get our own vibration higher. You know, people say, what are we going to do? You know, we're being, you know, well, yeah, there's stuff you can do. And the things you can do is heal your own internal trauma and vibrate to a higher reality. Because guess what happens when you do that? You never know. People look at you and they go, what is it about you? You know, I've sensed something, because people are intuitive. People have, we are all psychic, you know, and it, with my, you know, so I'm an abductee and a contactee. I mean, I literally talk to extraterrestrial. There's a particular extraterrestrial which took interest in me. It's a really, you know, we're running out of time. I don't know if you want to. You probably want to go to bed, right, Mitchell? I don't think you want to stay into the second hour.
We're rolling. Let's, you know, I said earlier, remember what happened? You get that second.
Well, I know.
I go in there. I could lay down and probably go to sleep. But it's, you know, you only live once. And when you can get on with Arizona Keith, Mr. Texan.
Yes. I still go by Keith AZ, but I'm now Keith Texan, I guess.
Yeah. You're Tasman, right? Texas, Arizona, that's Tasman.
I don't know. Regardless,
it is important because, you know, what we do, you know, changes the future, changes everything. We may not think about it. I have seen it with my own eyes, and that you can engage people in public, you know, in stores, you know, sometimes.
Happens to me all the time.
They're in a bad mood.
Yeah.
And you can engage them in a positive manner, even if you're a Democrat and a Republican, you know, even if you don't like each other or whatever, you know, you can change the world today.
You know, I want to really emphasize that. Let me make a comment because we're about to hit the break.
Okay.
So here, you know, I moved here to Texas from Arizona, and here I'm basically in central. This is technically western Texas, but it's pretty near the central Texas. It's San Angelo. I'm kind of in between Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio. I'm kind of in between all of them, like a triangle. You know, I'm like right in the middle of that triangle. But it's technically western Texas, although it's really closer to the center. People are mellow. And you've got here, we've got a lot of Hispanic, you know, people. And we've got a lot of African-American people. But they've been living together so long, they don't care anymore.
Right.
You don't sense any racial tension. They're just like, oh, cool. I don't care if you're Caucasian. They don't give a damn. We'll be right back, everybody.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-voloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
Show them what we got here.
You're listening to Keith AZ Live with Keith Roberts at revolution.radio.
I bought a toothbrush, some toothpaste, a flannel for my face, pajamas, a hairbrush, new shoes and a case. I said to my reflection, let's get out of this place. Past the church and
back. Welcome to the show, my friends. This is Keith AZ Live on Revolution Radio, and we're doing it for you. We are doing it because we love you. At least I do. I guess I can't speak for everybody else, but I genuinely care about our future, and it looks to me like we have actually an extraordinarily positive future. I know we're in the thick of it. We're in a war right now. Forget about Russia and Ukraine. This war goes back. It's between dark and light. Goes back at least 6,000 years, as best as I can tell. Probably more than that. Maybe 20 million. I don't know the answer, but I'm trying to figure it out. Trying to bring these questions to our wonderful listeners. Mitchell, welcome. Thank you for staying with me to the second hour. I didn't think you would. I have a really positive view on the future right now. And I really feel like the willpower of the people, the willpower of us collectively, and I don't just mean America, I'm talking globally, We're just saying, hey, man, we're sick of this. And if you really want to go back, you know, unpack this a little bit, you know, one of the areas you can look at is private central banks issuing public currency at interest and having no assets to back it, like the Federal Reserve. They have no reserve and they are not federal, right? You know, and I think we're breaking this mold. And that's one of the areas when I find myself in a line at a like a supermarket, you know, buying some food or whatever. Or maybe I'm at Home Depot buying some stuff because I'm fixing up this place I bought, you know, and you get to chatting with people and you go, you find out, you know, one of the things I found, you're not going to tell them like 9/11 was an inside job because most people are not educated enough to understand that. But if you talk about what hits them in the wallets and you say, hey, guess what? You know, we're being cheated by private central banks. And they go, yeah, I know. That has happened to me. They go, yep, that's right. By the way, Jerbert, did you call? I tried to answer you, but I didn't see it on my screen right now. Jerbert, you are welcome to join if you would like. You know, I'm seeing that people, you know, the it's like the kitchen table stuff, the stuff. And by the way, the red wave, I wanted to talk about that tonight a little bit. It was a red wave. It was just blunted by the cheating. And Carrie Lake should be governor of Arizona. I mean, this is crazy. And that fight's not over. She is such a beautiful human being. And also an extraordinarily beautiful woman. She's just playing pretty. I'll take her over Hobbs just because she's much more gorgeous. And she is gorgeous. And, you know, these people, because we're moving into a kind of a higher vibrational state, this is what planet Earth herself is. I know – Mitchell, I'm kind of getting out of your wheelhouse there, you know, this is the experience I've had I've had these experiences like you were describing before we hit the break there with an experience that kind of took you into a different level where you kind of rejected God or didn't think it was real. And all that stuff. And I'll tell you from my perspective, I always thought that people were over anthropomorphizing God. In other words, projecting our human, perceptions onto a being that is the creator of the universe. And I love astrophysics and follow that, and you look at astrophysics, and so we got our local galaxy here, the Milky Way galaxy, which has estimated, they don't even know because they can't count them all, but they estimate between 200 and 400 billion stars in our own galaxy, and then we're finding there's at least that many other galaxies. Some people are trying to tell us life only exists on Earth. Like a former host on this network that our wonderful general manager, Ahmed Painter, fired. I think you know who I mean. There's only life here. And then some people were saying, yeah, and the Earth is flat, you know, but everything else is round. It's just, you know, oh, man, it's really playing on our weaknesses. Here we are in incredibly immense, beautiful space here. And God is real. The creator is real. The very fact that there is creation implies a creator, right? I don't know. I'm sorry to go on so long. But, Mitchell, welcome back to the show. Any thoughts that you'd like to add?
Oh, hey, Keith. I'll tell you what, you know, I don't know about creation, but, you know, as a male, procreation always sounds really good. as long as it's not election fornification, we're okay.
All right. Do you have
well,
any?
Well, after all, wasn't the election fortified or fornicated? Which one was it?
Well, it was corrupted. They did the same stuff they always do. We've got evidence of that all over and over. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I remember, I'm an electronics technician, and I was working with an older gentleman who was really brilliant. I mean, I really appreciated all that I learned from him, a real sweetheart, but he was really, bitterness. And he said, how come God lets this happen? And my, you know, meaning that, you know, people are in poverty and wars and, you know, all the stuff that goes on. I said, well, God gave us free will. How come we're letting it happen? Man, the ball is in our court. God gave us free will. It's up to us to fix this, you know? We are getting help from above. Listen, I'm telling you, I get that every freaking day. It's not even funny. When you align yourself with the universe, you'll find things work really good. But that's a whole nother conversation. But the basic reality is that we have free will right now. And so people can do evil. They will get their just karma. And I'm telling you, it's hitting the fan right now. Nancy Pelosi, as of January, when the elections despite their incredible cheating, we will have a slight majority in the House. Nancy Pelosi will no longer be Speaker. And then we had this crazy situation with her husband, Paul Pelosi, which we have had at least three different stories about what happened. You know, first it was somebody else answered the door, and then it was, you know, whatever, you know, all these different permutations of what they're describing about it. But they cannot release any video. We know the house was under video surveillance by at least who knows how many cameras, at least five or six were probably on that area, or two or three at least. And then the cops had body cameras, you know, and then we have this reporter come out and say, yeah, we got the body camera, and it's actually Paul Pelosi answered the door. What? The first thing was, well, an unknown person answered the door. I mean, it's just crazy. My best guess about what happened was that it was a sex tryst, a homosexual, sexual, for money type situation, where that dude, I've forgotten his name, but
didn't you mean feel... where the illegal immigrant from Canada?
That's right. That's right.
Screamed, "You call the cops on me!"
I didn't hear that part of it.
No, I'm just making a joke, but yeah, the you know, the on again, off again story about the door opening that yep. has been now kind of verified that Paul Pelosi did open the door.
Well,
and
that's
then
the
he,
latest.
You know,
version.
Went back in the house. So
yeah, and stood next to him, and then he took the hammer and hit him in the head.
Yeah. And, you know, nobody said whether Nancy's, you know, here's the other problem. Then this is another problem they could have run into. Now, if it is allegedly, as Jim Fetzer has said, a pink hammer dildo or a dildo in the shape of a hammer, however it is.
Fetzer said that.
The real question is, was Nancy Pelosi's DNA on it along with theirs?
No, I don't think they have sex together. I'm just guessing.
Well, you know, I know people that used to beat each other black and blue, and I didn't know if that was foreplay or the sex.
Yeah.
Hey, are you a football fan out there in Arizona?
I used to be. I
for
mean,
those,
actually,
those Arizona Cardinals?
Let me tell you something, first of all. I actually have been watching old 49ers games because I grew up, like I said, in the San Francisco Bay Area back when Joe Montana emerged as the greatest quarterback of all time. Screw Tom Brady. Tom Brady, maybe you could argue he's better because he actually did win more Super Bowls. But at that time, you know, it was a different game, and we didn't have the wokeism or any of that. I cannot watch basketball or baseball or NBA now because of the wokeism. But I have gone back and looked at the golden years and rewatched because they're available free on YouTube. So the short answer is I am a super football fan, but back in that earlier era.
Do you think that the Cardinals would have done better if, you know, when Dick Vermeil came from the Eagles, if he would have brought John Fetterman with him to call plays?
Are you talking about the brain damaged now senator?
Yes, sir.
Oh, sure.
You mean the informational challenge center? Yes,
sir. In this current era, and they probably would have women being linebackers. I don't know, man. That's a unanswerable question because you know, these are two different times. You know, we've got men identifying as women who are destroying women's records in sports by large margins, and the powers that be are saying, yeah, that's okay, and the rest of us are going, yeah, not so much, you know, we're against this. I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about the speech that, you know, we heard Trump saying, I'm going to make a big announcement. And so what he did is he said, yeah, I'm hereby stating that I'm running for president again. He said that he's running. He said his candidacy for president. And I'm like, yeah. And he was really angry. I don't know what you thought about that, my friend, but you could just tell he was talking low. He's saying, yes, I'm running for, you know, I'm stating that I'm now a candidate for president. He was pissed off big time. I don't think he wanted to. I think Donald Trump was hoping that he didn't have to. I think he would like to be retired, but I think he feels the need because I think he's the only one that can give any semblance of a positive future in that position that is so desperately needed. I don't think anybody, you know, DeSantis, the only reason DeSantis is governor of Florida is because Trump endorsed him. And guess what happened with Trump's endorsements for the midterms? He was like, what, 217 out of 235, something like that? They almost all won. And he probably would have been higher, except they cheated massively, which is why, you know, okay, here in Arizona, you're voting for Kerry Lake. Well, we're going to put your ballots in box 13 and ship it over here on the Penske trucks to this warehouse where we're going to, as it turns out, have more votes than actual voters, like they always do. And then we got to wait. No, wait, mm-hmm. wait. We don't have enough Democratic votes yet, so we got to manufacture more of them. So, and they just cheated so massively.
Hey, Joe, can you run me off another 500 Biden ballots?
Yep, that's what they did.
Now, I have some information.
Okay.
That Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, before the election, that weekend before, which would have been the 4th, 5th, and 6th, there were, I'm trying to kind of estimate how many, there were bags of political literature, alleged political literature. I don't know what it was. They were sealed bags. There were three, four, and five tins flown into the Arizona International Airport at the cargo hub and unloaded.
Sky Harbor Airport.
Is that okay? Well, they flew in.
Yeah, that's Phoenix Airport. It's actually
In from Memphis, Tennessee, couple days before the election, and there were, you know, literally, five, six, 7,000 pounds or more of these things over a few days. And, you know, my whistleblower that was telling me about this, he lives, of course, in Phoenix. And, you know, he hasn't seen any last minute political literature coming in the mail. And the way he explained it, you know, and I guess the way the mail system is out there, it's not super efficient. So, you know, by the time they would get the mail in and then take it to whoever ordered it, and then they would take it to the post office for it to be mailed through the system, you know, it just doesn't seem like they would have enough time to mail them out, literally, you know, because the mail isn't going to run on Sundays. They're not going to deliver. And Saturdays, you know, so these things are just coming in on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So they literally can't even go to the post office until essentially Monday to get processed to be shipped out to the couriers across wherever. For, you know, so how could they effectively have anything arriving on Tuesday, you know? And were these, you know, as I always ask, were these the illegal fake ballots that were printed off the record and then shipped in and then put in the mix as if they're mail-in ballots? And as long as they run them through the machines and the machines can't count them right. See, here's another thing about the, you know, with the machine, the voting, the reader problem, essentially, is that if you're reading, sending it through four or five times and it's still not reading, just because that little light is reading red doesn't mean that it's not reading. I know somebody that just recently had ordered some quilts off the internet, right? And they didn't mean to, but, you know, their phone was slow. And they hit send or pay multiple times. And, you know, when you're scanning these optical ballots, you know, if you're counting on the idiot light to make sure and not looking at a counter, you know, you're gonna lose count in a heartbeat of what is and isn't. I'm just trying to say it's, you can't even have any idea of confidence of how many people actually voted legally.
Crazy. Well, those machines were designed to manipulate elections. That is a difficult fact for many of us to digest, but those machines were designed to manipulate elections, and they're saying, oh, they're not connected to the internet. Well, as it turns out, they were in 2020. Trump won the 2020 election in a landslide. I actually, you know, Mitchell, I think Trump even won California. California used to be red. Remember, that's where Ronald Reagan came from. And certainly there's problems with him. You know, I'm not saying he was the greatest guy ever, but he did do some good for the country. And he won in one of the greatest landslides ever in recorded history as a president. California used to be red, and I think it still is, and I think it's more red than ever. You know, listen, the place where I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, I grew up in Marin County, which is over the Golden Gate Bridge, which is a super affluent area. So it's mostly insulated from a lot of the stuff that's going on. But I'll tell you, on the streets of San Francisco, you got needles and feces, just like it is all up and down the west coast of our nation, Oregon and Washington. This is actually, it's really tragic. There was a situation where one of the stories that came out is a dude walked into a Safeway right there in near the Marina District, on the inside, you know, on the bay of the San Francisco, pulled out a package of toilet paper and broke it open and then defecated right there on the floor. And wiped his ass and left it there and walked out. And nobody did anything. You know, this is the depravity that's going on there right now. This is not acceptable. This is not cool. This is not good. You know, not that, you know, we shouldn't be trying to figure out what to do about the homelessness. You know, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation that would take a whole nother show to even scratch the surface of. This is the agenda of these dark satanic forces. They want chaos. They want division. You know, this serves them very well. You know, I'm a avid reader. I love books. And one of the interesting things that keeps coming up over and over again is that these would-be tyrants love chaos because it elevates them into authoritarian power, because then they can dictate and then they become the source of divvying out the whatever needs are met. You know, because then it flows through them. Are you going to get food? Are you going to get medicine? Are you going to get energy? Well, because there's chaos all about, now I'm, you know, we've got to lock it down and control it. So they love chaos. And what that does is it pits us against each other instead of recognizing who the real source of the problem is, with these bleepity bleeps being PG friendly here, these bleepity bleeps, and you can, you can put in whatever adjectives or nouns that you might want to recognize in that. These people. And they're actually, you know, I talked about Satanism. They're actually demon-possessed. There's a real element of Satanism involved here. And they thrive on pain. They thrive on our misery. They want to make us fearful and needy. And they just suck on that because that is where, because they've turned their eyes away from God, that is their only source of energy, is making us miserable. So I tell you all, and I've told you all on this show so many times, do not succumb to fear. Be loving, be positive, envision a positive future. I mean, here's another key, Mitchell. So the reality is actually a very fluid thing. The very physical reality that we find ourselves in is condensed through the higher energy of the ether. So as we have a positive or negative vision, we both know people that are kind of doomsayers, or people like me that are more optimistic, right? But what that vision of an optimistic or negative future does is then it condenses into the physical. People that have a dark vision of the future tend to find themselves in not that great a situation. People that have an optimistic version, like I'll just give you an example of myself. I have a very optimistic version of the vision of the future. Well, guess what? I'm in a very good place right now. Not perfect. You know, I'd like to be better. But I'll tell you what, man, I am good. I am good to go right now. Man, I'll tell you what. I get to get up. I'm retired. I don't have to work. All I have to do is fix up my house and find and cultivate relationships with people. This is a very beautiful place to be in. And then I can play my guitar if I want. You know, I've got 6 guitars. They're all beautiful ones. I may buy another one. There's certain ones I want. I want a semi-hollow body guitar, and I might buy another Stratocaster too. I mean, it's just fun, fun, fun. You know, if you have a positive vision, this goes out into the ether. The universe, especially if you're aligned between your heart and your mind. So if your heart and your mind are not aligned, and your heart is saying one thing because you got some traumas, like, I am not worthy, right? I am not worthy. I don't deserve that. But your mind says, oh, yes, I can just go ahead and manifest, you know, rainbows and unicorns. Well, that ain't going to work too good. You know, a lot of people are not grounded, but if you do that internal work, it manifests as above, so below, as within, so without. You do that work, which is no fun, by the way. It's not easy to connect with your deeper self because you've got a lot of trauma. At least I did. Or do, I still do, I'm not done, I'm not trying to tell you I'm any kind of enlightened one or any kind of saint. I am not by a long shot, but I have made progress. And when you make progress with your inner self, it manifests on your outer self. When you heal those deeper traumas, you can then start to manifest a better reality. This is as within, so without. So as you do that, then the people around you are affected by your magnetic energy. Listen, Mitchell, we're on the cusp of an incredible, beautiful future. I'm telling you right now, I don't know about the MedVeds. I mean, I haven't seen one. I don't know. But I do know for sure there is healing technology that is on right, just waiting for you. It's just a matter of saying, okay, I will accept it. that's how close it is. All you got to do is say, okay, I'm good to go on that, instead of saying, no, I'm not worthy. There is a profound abundance available because the world has figured out that we don't need private central banks. We don't need bankers stealing our money, issuing private central banks, issuing public currency. Yeah, not so good. You know, that's really not in our benefit, and we don't have to deal with it. Andrew Jackson, famously, you can also go back to Abraham Lincoln and also to JFK. all of them rejected the private central banks and all got murdered, or in Andrew Jackson's case, attempted to be murdered twice. And he actually paid off the private central bank at that time, which I think was called the Bank of America. I don't remember. Bill Still did a wonderful documentary, The Money Masters, and just really laid it all out. So we can take back our power. That is who we are. We don't have to put up with this crap. But most people are hypnotized. Most people are injected. Most people are have been Stockholm syndrome, slaves. And just please give me my drachmas, and I can just barely, get by. No, we're not having that anymore. And that's the message I want to send to everybody. I don't know, Mitchell, any comments, my friend?
Oh, God.
there, I know.
No. Well, because everybody is different and everybody is based on, most of us, base our knowledge and what we do and how we live on the cumulative effect of the experiences that we've had. And, sometimes those are good. Well, most of the time, we remember the negative or the bad side, and we kind of structure and build ourselves around protecting those damaged parts of us. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
no, I understand.
We live in a time where I think that we need to understand that there are others that are plying our mind and bending our will through our subconsciousness.
Yeah.
And that, we have the ultimate power, but that power stems from our awareness and our work to buttress our mind against these subconscious messages. Because the only way you can beat that is with conscious thought, positive thought, or counter propaganda, counter.
Let me just elaborate on that a little bit. It's a little bit deeper than that. You've got to do really deep internal work, which is I've talked about many times. We're running out of show, so I'm not going to go into it right now. But there are a lot of resources that can help each other. And by the way, I want to say hi to Mace in the audience, who said hi to me in the chat room. Thank you, Mace. Love you. Up and Batsman and everybody else that's listening. Thank you for tuning in. Anyway, dealing with the subconscious. Yeah, I'll tell you, it goes even deeper than that. It's our own shadow. The shadow work, the parts of ourselves that, this is why some people believe in flat earth, because they need some reason to feel like they're special, it's a freaking huge universe. And the earth is not flat, but it is fat. It's a little bit big around the middle, much like myself. These insecurities that we feel, there is opportunity to go ahead and there is many resources. And I think this show has been one of them. I've given people many tools over time to investigate and heal. The reason why there's so many channels that give us a lot of BS is because people are so traumatized, Stockholm syndrome. They need to find something outside of themselves instead of the true inner light. So, my friends, you in the most opportune time, you have the opportunity. I know, Mitchell, this is kind of getting outside of your wheelhouse, but this is the kind of show I do. But and I'm so grateful you've joined me tonight, Mitchell. You've just been an absolute delight. I've really enjoyed every time you and I have been on air together. We have more opportunity to grow now because we're in such a time of stress. You know, if we just had let's give you an example. Suppose you grew up in a household that everything was given to you. You'd never have any reason to grow. You could get pizza and beer, or you could watch football all day, or you could have prostitutes at your beck and call. You'd never have any reason to develop yourself because everything was given to you. Well, here we are in a time where we've got to fight. We got to step up to the plate right now. We got to tell these evil bleepity bleeps that we're not taking it anymore. I'm mad as hell and I'm done. I'm gonna take back my own power. And because of the pressure we've been under, I mean, what happens? How do you make diamonds? Well, you have extreme pressure from carbon, from coal, that then presses on it. And what happens is then this diamond forms. And that's the light that we're shining right now, is because we are under so much pressure right now. You either shine the light or you succumb. Are you going to give up? Are you going to bow down? Are you going to bend over and get a kind of a sore sphincter? Not me. I'm telling you, man. If you open your hearts to the higher vibrations of the Creator, of God, there's a level of protection. I mean, I'm telling you, I would be dead right now, seriously. There's so many times they would have killed me, seriously. David Icke said something very interesting. They kept saying to him, how come the dark forces haven't killed you? And he said, well, it's because I don't allow that into my reality. Now, it's not as simple as that, because they actually can. They killed John Lennon. I mean, you think Mark Chapman killed him? There was more shots fired than were in the gun in that little revolver he had. John Lennon was killed by a three-lettered agency. Might have been the CIA, but it might have been. Go ahead.
Yeah, three-letter agencies today. I just call them ASS. Ass. But it really is, you know, tough to find your way, and your that is your way, not to follow somebody else's path. And you know, so many times, you know, whether it's a medical treatment for COVID, or you know, whether it's a strategy in a game. You know, people play things so verbatim, so by the script, that as soon as and these are mostly a lot of times the professionals that we have surrounding us making some of these decisions, you know, that, you know, we want to make, but they're out of our hands, they're in their hands, that, you know, these folks, how should I say it? While they're doing the best they can, they're not, you know, doing, you know, very, you know, very well. And the level of professionalism, you know, isn't where it needs to be. You know, that would help us here, you know, in our society. I mean, it's sheer craziness. I'm sorry, I'm kind of buzzing, fading in and out.
No, that's okay. I know you're tired.
I was going to say, and then as you were talking, you know, I didn't butt in. I just, it kind of went hey, there it goes. But
that's okay. I know how that is.
It'll
well, why don't you tell us, because you're a morning guy, I'm a night guy, and it's very kind of you to spend so much time with me. I thought you would drop off earlier so you could get some sleep. Well. But tell us when your show is. Tell the audience.
Oh, well, let's see. Yeah, hey, you ever think Rush Limbaugh meets Larry the Cable Guy, okay? That's kind of how my, you know, this politically incorrect, crazy show, loads of energy, you know, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., the Revolution in the Morning show.
Is that Eastern time?
Sir?
That's Eastern time.
Eastern time, yeah. So if you're, you know, get the early bird and you're up, you know, at, you know, 5 a.m., you know, out there on the West Coast, you know, hey, join me and have a listen. I guarantee you, you know, you'll laugh, you'll get mad, you might even cry, and, you know, your blood pressure will definitely go up, and there's a chance you may spit your coffee on yourself somewhere during the show. But the high energy, you know, off the wall, political commentary, I Mondays and Fridays, I double down on my sarcasm, if that's possible. But it's a really good show. I believe it is. And, you know, somebody has to say it because, you know, when you have one of the psychological tools that we use that are used against us today is that, you know, everybody in the mainstream media agrees on every topic. It seems like even fake Fox News, they're agreeing on the same topic. They just have a different angle, a different cut on it. And what we find is this one experiment called the Ash experiment, where they took a panel of people, 9 people that were in on the experiment, and 1 person that was not in on the experiment. And they went in a room, all of them. They sat at a table and they would identify a picture, and then, or they would have a picture, and then there would be a multiple choice of 3 other pictures to choose from. So the control group of people that are in the experiment, they always chose the wrong answer. And, you know, the guy that wasn't in on it, you know, I mean, it was simple stuff like a square, a circle, and a triangle, you know, or they had 3 lines, you know, one was like a real short and one was medium and one was real long. And, you know, it was such a simple cognitive task that, you know, it was like, how in the hell could these people get this wrong? And what they found was, after a few minutes of this going on and, you know, everybody else choosing the wrong answer, you know, the test subject would change his answer to the wrong answer. You know, even though he knew it was wrong, he would still vote with the crowd.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't stand out. And now the problem here lies with this next step in the test, where they would then, you know, and so what they found was 60% of people would buckle down, would bend over and, yep, you know, say the wrong answer in, you know, from basically peer pressure or just pressure wanting to be with the crowd. So what they did was then they had the experiment and they ran it almost the same way, except they had 1 other person out of the other 9 that were the actors in the test, in the test, 1 of those 9 would say the correct answer. And remember, the guy that's the test subject, he's always answering last. So he hears all the other answers, and then he makes a decision. And what they found that instead of, you know, having this thing where 40% of the people, or 40% of the people that would withstand the group dynamic, when they had one other person in those nine other actor subjects said the correct answer, it jumped to almost, it jumped to 86%. Okay. Yeah. So if one other person agrees is it the wrong answer, you know, with the right answer against all those with their deliberately getting the wrong answer, it doubles the chance of someone else joining the truther side of that equation. And see, remember, this is what the media is trying to prevent. This is why they working so hard.
It's why they have to control the narrative.
Censorship, yes, and the narrative. And the joining with social media, you know, with the mind control and the algorithms that take us on a learning trip as we go through social media. And if we have heavy social media use, you know, it's basically like it's essentially being in school, reading textbooks, reading information, gathering, internalizing. You may not think of it like that, but whenever you're doing social media, that's what you're doing. So you're essentially studying. And just as that liberal college student studies and listens to his professor, you are also evolved by that experience. And most people don't realize that they're essentially using that unseen, subconscious, algorithmic mind control to change the perceptions and positions of individuals and people, and they don't even know it because it's subconscious in their brain, and it's basically, you know, this cult mind control stuff.
You know, when the a perfect example of that is when the COVID first hit, and everybody, you got to mask up. Well, I said, hell no. I walked in to Safeway there in Arizona, the supermarket, you know, food store, and everybody was wearing a mask. I mean, everybody, and I wasn't. I said, they're either going to kick me out or I'm going to talk to the manager and say, hey, you know, this is BS. But nobody did. Nobody from no employees. I went to the deli. I was getting some sliced turkey to make sandwiches. And this one woman said, you're not wearing a mask. You know, it's your typical, you know, mind control, you know, you're not wearing a mask. And I said, yeah, because this is America and I'm free, is basically what I said to her. And I walked away, didn't confront her. You know, and it wasn't even that harsh. I made it sound more harsh probably than it was. I just said, yeah, because I'm an American citizen, I'm free. You know, I don't have to do that. I was the only one. I did the same thing. I walked into Walmart. I'm not wearing a mask. And the guy at the front door was like, you have to wear a mask. And I just walked right past him and in there, and nobody confronted me after that.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was wearing a mask except me, because I knew, first of all, anyway, we're running out of show, so we don't have time to go into that.
No, that's okay. I mean, I know exactly what you mean, and because you know, I was going into Walmart, you know, and I never wore a mask, and
it took courage.
People were giving me dirty ass looks, and the guy at the door, you know, I was like, oh, no, thank you. And he kept walking by, you know, and he's like, look at me, sir, sir. I said, no, thank you. I'm good.
I was nervous. I was nervous. I was expecting some employee to confront me directly and say, yeah, you can't do that. And they had a sign out front, must wear a mask to enter here. I say, yeah, not so much, you know. But the employees, nobody confronted me as far as any of the employees or management, other than that one individual who was an older lady. You're not wearing a mask. I said, yeah, because this is America. You know, that's actually pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have extensive professional and industrial training and use of masks of all kinds, you know, from the N95 mask all the way up to respirators and bubble suits and
I know air you've had even nuclear experience.
You know, yeah, and you know, you hit the pinnacle when you're in a bubble suit using a pneumatic chipping the concrete out of this radioactive concrete out of this.
Oh man.
They had, you know, when they built the nuclear power plant, they had built some tanks. And they built the tanks, well, you know, these geniuses, right on top of the concrete and sealed around the bottom of them. You know, well, concrete's porous. You know, they put, you know, radioactive grease-type resin and stuff in these things. So, you know, after, you know, 25 years or however long it was, you know, they figured out that it was, you know, leaching into the pores of the concrete. And, you know, they sent, well, I was part of the crew. We went in there and we chipped the little bastard out, you know, 3 inches deep the whole way around.
Wow.
It. You know, and we're wearing these, we're literally wearing these moon bubble suits on airlines. You know, it's like, damn, what the hell?
Were they really hot or uncomfortable? What did it feel like in those?
It was hot because you were working and everything was, and where we were working, it was warm. And it was a small area, so it, you know, we generate a lot of body heat even in those suits because they're, you know, they're what 12 mil, 14 mil or thicker, you know, you know, a fibrous type plastic material, and you know, it's crazy, and you got to remember too now under that, you know, we had another set of clothes of heavy canvas wear, you know, we all had gloves and, you know, gloves on top of gloves and all kinds of stuff. Hey, there's the break, brother.
That's the end of the show.
God bless you, Keith.
Mitchell, you've been fantastic. It was such a joy to have you on tonight. We'll see y'all next time, my friends. Good night, everybody.
Listening to Revolution Radio. Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone banking. Welcome to the Crypt.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. K countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Don't miss the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here.